If you would open your copy of the scriptures to the gospel according to Luke chapter 8. This morning, again, we will be reading verses 1 through 21 as we spend the second of what I believe will be 4 weeks looking particularly at the parable of the soils. So let's hear God's word here, Luke chapter 8, 1 through 21. Soon afterward, Jesus went through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones along the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these having no root, they believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who hear. Hearing the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that all those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Father, we come now asking for light. The light of your Spirit to shine upon your word, that we might hear it truly, that we might understand it correctly. And Father, light to shine on our hearts, Father, that you might, by your word and in your grace and mercy, expose the kinds of hearers that we are this morning, that we might take care how we hear, that by your grace might be found to be those who are good soil, wherein your word comes, it's received, it's taken hold of, held fast to, and bearing fruit with patience. It's manifested, it's seen to be genuine, good, and gracious. So, Father, we ask for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. We come again to this section of Scripture this morning. And as we began to look at this passage last week, we saw that this entire section of Scripture from verse 1 through 21 centers around this central idea of the hearing of the Word of God. See it throughout the passage again and again spoken of. First in the beginning where Jesus goes forth proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom, and then through the passage as he unfolds the various responses displayed in various ways of hearing God's word. And as we walk through this passage, we see that particularly in this parable, Jesus exposes four types of soil. And what we see there is that the soil ultimately is the heart of an individual person. There are three types of soil that at the end of it all don't bring forth fruit. There's three types of soil that are bad soil, and one type of soil, one heart that is good soil, that does bring forth fruit. And so Jesus is explaining the way that the same word goes forth. The good news of the kingdom is proclaimed, it's heralded, it's announced, it's spoken, it's taught. The same good news goes forth. The seed is the same seed throughout this whole section, but responses vary. Not everybody responds to that one and same seed in the same way. And so as we saw last week, we begin with this central idea. That in this parable, by exposing these four types of soil, Jesus provides us with an explanation for those varied responses. We see these varied responses in people we know, people we love, and people we care about. We see these responses in the world as the gospel goes forth in new places. We see these responses as the good news of the kingdom of God is heralded week in and week out in this place, amongst this people. So Jesus provides an explanation for those varied responses. He's going to pull back the curtain, he goes underneath, and he's going to show us why people respond in different ways. And then, as we saw last week, Jesus intends to provoke self-examination by exposing these responses, by exposing these soils, by exposing these hearts. Jesus provokes self-examination. He causes us to ask, what kind of soil are we? And the goal, the intention of both of those things, to provide the explanation and to provoke self-examination, is found there in verse 18, that we would take care then how we hear. that we would take care how we hear. Last week we saw that the first type of soil is that soil that's packed down on the hard path. And the glories of the gospel, both in the warnings and threatenings and tremblings of the law coming to sinful human beings, and in the beauties and excellencies of the God who comes and satisfies that law, the God who comes and satisfies his own justice, the God who comes and redeems those who rebel against him. In both the threatenings and the warnings of God's word and the beauties and glories and grace of the gospel, the hard path, it responds with indifference. The soil just lays on the surface of the hearts of those individuals. It never penetrates in. And we saw that what's going on there is indeed a spiritual reality where the word is coming. It's the true gospel. It's heard by individuals, and the devil himself comes and snatches it away, that they might not believe and be saved. So that's the first explanation he provides and the first self-examination he provokes. What kind of soil are you? Is that you? But this morning, as we come to the second soil, and we remember that goal that Jesus is driving at, that we would take care then how we hear, might summarize the goal this morning is that we would take care that we are no rootless hearers. The center of the second soil that we're going to look at this morning, and the call, the goal, what we're driving at is that you and I would take care that we are no rootless hearers. So jump back to the parable itself. Look at the details for a moment. You see there in verse 6, Jesus says that the sower went forth, and some of the seed falls on the rock. Now, this isn't just a bare rock, but the idea here is that in a field, you have some areas, right, with depth, fruitful, deep topsoil, but you have other areas where there's some kind of bedrock. There's some kind of a shelf of rock underneath, and you have a little bit of soil on top of it. From above, you can't necessarily tell what kind of soil it is. But Jesus says that some seed falls on this rock. And as it grows up, it withers away because it had no moisture. Here, the seed goes into the soil, unlike on the path, unlike on that hard, packed soil of a heart, totally indifferent to the message of the gospel, totally indifferent to the word of God and all of its fullness and its whole counsel. But here, in this section, the seed penetrates the soil to some degree. It goes into this soil and it begins to grow. There's signs of life. It looks like something good is happening, but then he says it withered away because it had no moisture. Its roots going down find themselves hitting that rock, and there's no moisture to sustain it. Then verse 13, in Jesus' explanation, he says, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. Here is this part of the parable. The seed goes into the soil, and it begins to grow up. What's the beginning of the growth here in the explanation? The beginning of the growth is an apparent reception and a joy at the coming of the news. The rootless hearer receives the word with joy. But then Jesus says, these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time, of testing, they fall away. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. So what are we to hear this morning? The first thing that we're to hear this morning is by way of Jesus' provision of an explanation. Why do responses vary? And the first thing he provides by way of explanation is that an immediate response, a positive response, even a joyful response, is an insufficient sign of good soil. The first explanation Jesus provides here in this soil is that an immediate response to the Word of God in the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, a positive response, even a joyful response, is an insufficient sign of good soil. This is a helpful provision of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have had this experience with a friend or a neighbor, someone from your class, someone that you worked with maybe many years ago, people you grew up with, people that you spent time with in the gospel, and you see the word come to them, and you see that reception with joy? There is a delight. There is something that says, yes, that's good. That's beautiful. I receive that. You see them in the gathered people of God. They come to church. They lift their hands. Maybe tears come down their faces. You speak with them of the things of God. The response is immediate, the response is positive, the response is joyful, and yet now where are they? They're gone. They're no longer here. They're no longer walking with the Lord. They're no longer walking in faith. They've withered up. What looked like a nice, green, flourishing plant died and fruit never came. And Jesus provides us with help this morning. As hard as those experiences are, I have seen many people tie themselves in knots over those kinds of situations. What in the world was going on? Everything looked so good. And in the worst situations, you hear someone, maybe 15 years later, but it had to be real. It had to be, it was sincere. They had to be saved. And Jesus is telling us, no. No, an immediate, a positive, even a joyful reception of the good news is an insufficient sign of good soil. It is an insufficient sign of good soil, and it's destructive. It is destructive to true and genuine faith to suggest that such sincerity, such apparent joy, such a apparent positive reception of the good news is real just because of what it looked like at that time. Jesus exposes the reality of that. It's false. It's false. Is the problem joy? They're just too excited? Should we guard against and kind of regulate the joy and the excitement to guard against this kind of problem? Well, of course not. The Scriptures unite true and genuine faith, saving faith, The reality of the seed, the implanted word coming and bringing new life with joy. First Peter, he says that we rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory. The joy is not the problem. The joy is not the problem. The problem is that there was no root, Jesus says. The joy had all the appearances of reality. It had all the appearances of genuineness, but ultimately was exposed for what it is, and that is superficial. As you pay attention to the images of the parable and the explanation, what we gather here is that everything about this situation ultimately proves to be superficial. Everything from that rocky shelf where there's a little bit of soil on top, it looks good, but ultimately the seed does not send down roots. It's grounded upon the rock. There's no moisture. What looks like a good plant, in times of testing, it falls down, it dries up, it falls away, it's temporary. We see that there in the description. Believe for a while. There's a superficiality to it. And in time of testing, fall away. In time of testing, fall away. What is it that leads to the exposure of this rootless plant? What brings about the exposure, right? It's not as though everything goes on growing all the way to the end and no one ever knows. In this particular soil, the soil is exposed for what it is when the testing comes. When the testing comes. If you are to take care that you're no rootless hearer, you must, according to the Word of God, evaluate the quality of faith in the context of testing. Evaluating the quality of faith in the context of testing. Trials, tests, persecutions, pressures are promised to every believer. This is the reality of the Christian life. Trials, testings, persecutions, pressures are the reality for believers. They're promised to the Christian. They are a part of the Christian life. And this parable and the rest of the scriptures show us that it's those testings themselves that expose a temporary and therefore false, unsaving faith from a genuine, persevering, true, and saving faith. It is the testings and the trials themselves that expose this in believers. It's the testings and trials themselves that expose this in believers. As someone who hears the Word of God, do you receive the beauty of its promises as good and right and true only when external circumstances allow for those feelings of joy and peace and delight and happiness to thrive? Or do you receive the goodness of the Word of God, all of its promises, as good and true and precious and delightful when the time of testing comes, when the pressures come in from the outside, when the persecutions arise on account of the word. Listen to a couple of things that the scripture says about testing. We could go to many different places. Many different places. Let's go to James chapter 1. You're going to flip over to James chapter 1. Listen to what the scripture says about testing and trials in connection with faith. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Consider verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Did you hear that there? Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Do you hear the connection between faith and trials, testings, persecutions? Let's look at a couple of other passages. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice. Familiar word, remember from James, we had joy. Joy, and then what? In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. We have joy, and we have trials. Why? Verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One more passage. Turn to the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Romans in chapter 5. Book of Romans in chapter 5. We'll just begin in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you hear the contrast between all that is temporary, all that withers when the testing and the trials and the persecutions come, and the good soil, the genuine faith that responds completely differently to faith? It rejoices in the face of sufferings. That's where its metal is proven. That's where it's revealed to be a precious thing. That's where it's shown to be genuine, to be gold, as the trials and persecutions and pressures come in and they press in upon that faith and burn off all the rest of the loose rocks and the other minerals that are there. And at the end of that fire, it's shown to be real gold and not fool's gold. It's shown to be genuine and not counterfeit. It's shown to stand the test and not fail the test. It's shown to be a persevering faith, not a temporary faith. Do you hear the difference? Take care that you are no rootless hearer. The rootless hearer, when faced with testings, when faced with persecutions, when faced with trials, drops its joy and runs back into the world. The shallow and rootless faith, the soil on the rock, when faced with trials, persecutions, and testings, drops the joy that it thought it had and runs back to the world. It does anything it can do to get out of this pressure, to get out of this trial, to relieve the situation in some way. What was so quick to spring up with joy in the face of coworkers that mock and belittle such a newfound hope in God quickly backs away, quickly pulls the punches. You don't really believe God's word when it says this, do you? You don't really believe that Jesus is the only way, do you? You don't really believe that God would send people to hell, do you? Questions come, the pressures arise, and that temporary faith with no root just backs off, closes its mouth, and walks away. The joy that it thought it had is snatched away from it. And Jesus says, what they think they have will be taken away from them. Because it was no genuine, no real joy rooted in Jesus Christ himself. Think back to all of those passages. Connections between joy in the midst of trials and a faith that clings to Jesus in the hard things. Compare it with this rootless, rocky soil that when adversity comes, when persecution comes, when pain and suffering comes, it drops the so-called hope that it had, and it runs the other way. Such a belief is no belief at all. The belief that when it faces that wave of adversity, runs back to the little shack that it built on the sandy shore. The faith that when it faces a real mountain, instead of crying out to Jesus, runs back into the world. The faith that faces the pressures, loss of income, sufferings in the world, instead of showing and revealing that Jesus is indeed the pearl of great price, that Jesus is indeed to be valued above all gold and silver, to be valued above all possessions, to be valued above all homes and jobs and houses, to be valued above all relationships and families, all friendships, to be valued above everything in this world, that temporary and false faith drops him at the first sign of pressures. But real faith, genuine faith, rejoices in the trials because it learns to do what Spurgeon said. It learns to kiss the wave that crashes it against the rock of ages. It learns to see in that trial an opportunity to run to the one Savior, the one rock, the one anchor, the one place that can't be moved, that can't be shaken, that can't be lost, the one place where hope will always be, where hope can never fail. It sees in that trial, in that suffering, in that pain, an opportunity to run to Jesus. It has no power in itself, but it will run to Christ. It will rest in Him. It will rejoice in Him. Through the darkest valley, through the highest wave, the biggest storm, their real faith is proven. Their real faith is shown to be what it is, because it's only there that we see at the end of the day, not faith itself, but the preciousness of the Savior. Not faith itself, but the reliability of King Jesus. Not power in an individual, but power in Christ Himself. It's in the trial that faith has any meaning at all. Do you have a rootless faith? Are you shallow soil? Don't rest in an immediate response. Don't rest in a temporary joy. Don't rest in feelings of elation or happiness or any such thing. But let the word shine deep down, all the way down to the root. Is there a root in Jesus Himself? Is there a faith that holds fast to Christ above all else? Is there a reality that when the persecutions come, when the trials come, when it looks like He has turned His face away from you, will you say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him? Because there is real faith. There is depth of soil. There fruit will be born. It's only there. It's only there that we see reality. So we need to take care how we hear. As the Word of God comes to you, do you hear only the sweetness of its promises and run away from its threatenings, from its judgments? I'll show you one way that you might be able to know right now if you are a rootless hearer of the Word of God. When it comes time to test, when it comes time to examine, when the Word of God comes and says, "What kind of soil are you? Do you run away?" No. I don't need that. I don't need that. For me, it's sprung up with joy. You see, the good soil welcomes the testing. Think from Matthew and Mark, the testing comes in the parable in the form of the sun. Sun for a plant with no root spells disaster. Sun for a plant with no moisture means death. But sun for a plant deeply rooted in true and genuine soil. Sun for the genuine believer, testing, adversity, persecutions, trials, sufferings are an occasion for those roots to suck up all the moisture of the grace and peace that is in Jesus Christ and Him Himself. The son of testing, the son of adversity, the son of pain and suffering, trials and persecutions, for the one planted in the good soil is occasion to draw up the life that is in you, the living waters that rise up unto eternal life. Those same testings and trials and persecutions are the things that the shallow, rootless believer runs away from. Indeed, the rootless believer doesn't believe that joy is possible when trials come. The rootless believer doesn't believe any of those passages that say, rejoice, count it all joy, delight yourselves in God in the midst of trials, because it's found its joy not in Jesus, not in the gospel, but in some external circumstance which persecutions and trials and testings sweep away, withering up that plant, exposing it to have no root. Friends, what kind of soil are we? What kind of hearer are you? That little plant that's growing. Don't despise the testing. Don't run away from the searching of the Word of God. If you are good soil, you will welcome it, because you'll delight to be revealed as one whose root is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do not ask for trials. We do not ask for persecutions. We do not ask for sufferings. But Father, we know that you've promised them to your children. You've promised them that they will come in the life of the believer. And you've shown us the path to receive them in faith. You've shown us the path to rest in you and in you alone, though the world around us falls apart. Father, I pray that as this word searches our hearts this morning, that you would reveal what kind of soil we are. I pray for the shallow, rootless soil this morning, that it might be exposed before the time of testing, so that by your grace and through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, good soil might be established, so that when the suffering comes, when the trial crashes in, when the persecutions arise, the fruit that comes from the root of Jesus Christ would be born to your glory, to the fame of your great name, that your people might count it all joy when they face trials of many kinds. Father, that your people might have a faith that is tested and genuine, that bears fruit in season and out of season. We pray in Jesus. Amen.